Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Mairead McGuinness, European Commissioner for Financial Services, Financial Stability and Capital Markets Union is here. You're very welcome to the programme. So, a Labour government in Britain, that's what we have. How much of a change in relations would you expect now between the UK and the EU?
Well, actually, I don't see any major changes because the framework is in place. We have the Trade and Cooperation Agreement. We have the Windsor Framework. And now it's about implementation. I mean, it's extraordinary that it's 8 years since the Brexit vote. And yet, as many of the people were on your programme and elsewhere have been saying, Brexit still hung over the whole election and, of course, the outcome. So I listened to the Taoiseach and Taoiseach about relationships Ireland and UK. And it's very clear that there's an element of wanting a reset, which is good. I think from the EU point of view, we will have a new commission in place. And I think it is an opportunity, obviously, for, strengthening the relationships. But also remember that since Brexit, we've had a war in Ukraine where the EU and the UK really work strongly together in support of Ukraine, in sanctions implementation. And I think the work now is a steady process of implementing what's already agreed. Mm-hmm. If I listen to Keir Starmer, he's not looking to start from scratch or get back into the customs union or the single market. And I think that's right, because nobody has an expectation of that from the EU side. So I think the relationship is settled.
But he does seem to be looking for a closer, smoother relationship. Is that something that the EU would welcome? Or are you done now? Is the EU saying, look, we have done all of those negotiations, let's not mess with it?
I think since the Windsor framework, the relationship is closer and smoother. I mean, I certainly in my area, I don't feel any tensions or anxieties. And financial services is an area where you could have that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a very clear understanding from the City of London that they're not in the European Union, so that their financial centre isn't the European Union's financial centre. And there are consequences for that. So actually, I think the relationship is stable. But I do think with a new commission taking office likely in November, December of this year, and a new government in the United Kingdom, I mean, there will be different people meeting each other for the first time. Maybe, I mean, I think Maurice Shefcovic will still be in place in the commission. And I think it's an opportunity just to get to know each other better once we work on the basis of the framework that's in place.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this key vote that's coming up in Brussels now, determining whether Ursula von der Leyen remains on as president of the commission. She won by a really thin majority the last time, we remember that. And if it looks, would you say, if things aren't going her way, is there a possibility that they might pull that vote and hold it in September instead?
Yeah, I think you're right to reflect that 5 years ago it was very tight, 9 votes. I think it was a surprise to everybody. But that's what you get with the secret ballot. So as I know, when you go to the doors and people say, of course I'll give you my vote, then you get an enormous vote. But clearly people say it and then they do something different. I think in this case, because of the uncertainty, not just at EU level with all sorts of stresses and strains, but the geopolitical situation, the last thing that the European Union needs, or indeed I think that the European Parliament wants, is a bit of disorder or chaos. So the vote will be tight. I think the work now from the von der Leyen team is to try and ensure that it's not too tight, that there is some, if you like, surplus beyond even the 9 would be welcome. But of course, this is about...
So what represents chaos? Is chaos delaying the vote?
I think,
or having a vote that doesn't go her way?
In my view, if there was a vote and didn't go her way...
That would be chaos.
It can be handled. There's a way of doing it. Within a month, the council has to propose somebody else. But let's deal with the reality today. So we have 3 main groups, the EPP, the Socialists and Renew. The Greens are there as well, and you have other groups. And the whole idea is to try and make sure that those groups that are looking for progress, you know, that are pro-European, pro-rule of law, pro-Ukraine, those are the 3 kind of criteria that the president has set for herself, that they lend their vote to her and that she has their support. The trouble is that it's not just enough. If I look at the figures, I think together they would amount to about 400 votes. If I'm correct, the figure she will need to just get there is 361. I mean, I've known the president for a while now, and you can bet that not only is her team working to talk to people who may have not decided yet, or those who have a different view, to try and talk to them to convince them of what her programme is for the next 5 years and why it is in the interests of the European Union that we have a stability and that a new commission can get up and running quickly.
Because she only gets one shot at this. Leo Varadkar was explaining this to us on the programme. If she loses it, it's gone. Like one shot.
Yeah, that's it.
So are you saying then it should be delayed? What's your view on that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's too early to say that. Remember that we have over a week for discussions to take place. And if you're around Brussels or around any political groups, there's a lot of debate or discussions and coffees. And, you know, there's to-ing and fro-ing as to what do different groups want, why and if they would lend their support. I think it's very clear that the leadership of the three groups I've mentioned do support her. They have to convince then all of their delegations, national delegations, to do the same. But again, in politics, you know, a secret ballot is exactly that. So there's a freedom for people to do what they so choose. I think for the von der Leyen team and those who are interested in stability, it's a question of trying to make sure that the margin is not so tight that it leaves it quite stressful the day.
Our own nominee for Commissioner, Michael McGrath, his Fianna Fáil MEPs have said that they won't support her. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, they canvassed or campaigned on that. Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, I haven't spoken to them since about their position, but I take it that that is their position. I think their votes would be very welcome, but I was an MEP and of course my vote was sacrosanct, so I'm not going to give them advice or counsel.
It's just, I suppose, he's now looking for a high-profile portfolio from Ursula von der Leyen. If she gets through this, it mightn't be the strongest position for him to be in if those Fianna Fáil MEPs vote against her, as they said they have done.
Well, I think it's in the interest of Ireland that we do have a strong candidate, nominee. The process, though, between now and the hearings and becoming commissioner for all of those who will become commissioners, the 26, is lengthy. So we're a long way away from designation of portfolios. I think to go back to the issue of the votes, you need to watch everything between now and Thursday. I think it's the 18th of July. But when and if let's say that the president is ratified with a margin that's comfortable, then the process begins of accepting names of commissioners from member states, potentially asking for two names. And then at the end of August, there's interviews by the president of the commission with each of the candidates. And then there's all sorts of scrutiny of conflict of interest, etc. And then the hearings in the European Parliament.
So you don't think the Fianna Fáil MEP position is going to be a black mark held against Michael McGrath by the time we get there?
I can't say that it would be. But I do think that, and I think that Taoiseach himself has said this, that it would be helpful if they would vote in favour of the president, given that they're leaders and there's been a negotiation around that. But I respect that they are elected members in their own right and they will decide.
Choice to make. Now, last time out, and you've said this a number of times, Ursula von der Leyen asked for the name of a male and a female candidate. If she does that this time, it would seem from what the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have said, we're not going to nominate a male and a female, we're going to nominate Michael McGrath. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, she said, and it was quite a step forward. I think Juncker did try, the previous president as well, he made some headway, but not a lot. So President von der Leyen asked for a woman and a man and ended up with the gender balanced commission. I think she will do that again this time around. But I think Ireland, you know, is under no obligation to do that, nor are any member states. I have to say, given that I'm a woman, that I hope the European Parliament keeps a good eye on some element of balance. I don't think it has to be 50-50. But I do think, given that we have the first president of a commission that is a woman and that she did speak of gender, you know, some sort of balance, I think she will try. My impression is that it might be tougher this time around. But the Taoiseach has been very clear. We have the name of Michael McGrath. He is our commissioner designate. And, you know, that is what it is. Maybe other member states.
Is it a retrograde step, though, by Ireland not to invite or not to put forward a man and a woman?
Well, as I said, it's the woman and a man. I always think the words matter in the order in which they're put, and the president has always been of that order. Whether it's retrograde or not, I think it is what the government has decided. And I think that the president will respect that, while also looking at there are, I mean, in total with herself, there's 27, so 26. If some member states choose to send only one person, whether it's male or female, maybe she can balance it out with others that do send too. I gather, though, that some of the well-established colleagues that will be coming back, they might also face that they would have to face, you know, that there would be two names put forward.
Listen, on your own future, we know your name has been cited as somebody who might go forward for Fine Gael for the presidency. But with a general election now in the offing, if Simon Harris were to ask you, would you run for the Dáil?
Well, there's no election, as I gathered very clearly from your interview this morning, for months and months. So there's lots of time to think. And from my own point of view, just so that people are aware, I'm still in a job until the end of October. And there's a lot of work to do around financial services and financial stability and capital markets union. Mm. And for me, that last word, capital markets union, is an area that we should have been having a discussion on during the election campaign. It's never mentioned, but it's where the money will come from for the green and digital transition. And yet it is not on the political radar, which is a tragedy.
But if Simon Harris were to ask you, would you run for the Dáil?
I mean, I rule nothing in or I rule nothing out, because I suppose by the end of this year, I will be in a very different position. I will have served 20 years, over 20 years in the European Union. But I've always had my feet firmly on the ground at home, because, you know, I live on a farm, so I wasn't away all the time. So I'm very much in touch with home. Yeah. So I won't answer yes or no to that question, because I think it's more appropriate to have those discussions with political colleagues.
Well, given that you were commissioner, like you, I would presume that you would expect, if you were elected, to be elevated to cabinet. Would that be a precondition of you running?
I haven't even gone in that thought process at all. But thanks for the suggestion. I mean, honestly, in truth, now that I know the clarity that Michael McGrath is going to be our commissioner, I know that from now until the end of October, it could run a bit later into the year if there's any commissioners that are rejected by Parliament. And I haven't mentioned that. Usually two or three get rejected. Mm-hmm. That can delay. But for me, I'm in this role until the new commission comes in. So I have a bit of time to think. And if the certainty with which the Taoiseach spoke this morning about the date of an election, sure, it's months and months away.
Yeah, but you'll be free in the new year.
I'll be free in December.
Ray McGuinness, thank you very much for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.